chance to cover all five of them. So let's pick up with the last time tonight. And so what I want to do, first of all, before I even read my main passage, I got these notes very late to our media IT people. I like the bishop from Africa called them IT people. Wasn't that good? That wasn't the only great thing the bishop from Africa said Sunday morning. I tell you, that was a powerful message Sunday morning. And I want you to know, Pastor, that the floor of Best Buy, people were talking about how powerful that sermon was. Amen. I tell you, that was a great day this past Sunday. But let me give you the five be of good cheers. There is, first of all, the first time you read it is the cheer of pardon. And Pastor preached on this a couple of weeks ago about the man going down through the roof and all of that. And Matthew chapter 9, and he entered into, that's not the right one. But Matthew chapter 9 says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his, yes it is. And behold, they brought to him, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So the first time we read, Jesus said, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. That is the cheer of pardon. Has anybody been pardoned? Has anybody been saved? Then you need to be of good cheer. Amen. Then there's the cheer. The second time we read it is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. The guys can just follow me on the scriptures as best they can. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. They were out in a ship and the storm had come up and he was walking on the water. And Matthew 14, 27, Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And that is not only the cheer of pardon, but that's the cheer of his presence. I'm with you. I know it's dark. I know you're out here on this boat and things don't look good, but I'm here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then there is the third time that you read about it, is in John chapter 16 and verse 33. This is the cheer of peace. These things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We have the peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen. Be of good cheer. And then the fourth time you read about it is what I call the cheer of purpose. Because in this instance, Paul was in a mess. I mean, people were accusing him, locking him up. Up until this time, he was just having, and I'm going to talk more about this in the message as I get into it. But in the midst of people being against him, in the midst of everything not working right, Paul was reminded in Acts 23 and 11, Acts 23 and 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, you will bear witness with me in Rome. That is the cheer of purpose. Nothing, I say nothing, no devil in hell, no demon on any street corner, no prophesying prophets, no sipping saints, no backbiting believers are going to stop you. You can press through the crowd because God is going to see his purpose through in your life, and you ought to be of good cheer. Now, I tell you what, you just got like four sermons right there. Amen. There's the four times. Be of good cheer. Well, the final time, I want you to stand with me tonight and go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, the last time that we read that statement, be of good cheer. By the way, is this okay tonight? You having fun? You enjoying this? Say amen. And if you're not enjoying this, just be of good cheer. It won't last very long, I promise. You know, some lady, when the pastor he just couldn't get it together. He just really, really botched the sermon and he knew he botched it and everybody knew he botched it. And but there was a lady, she had such a spirit of encouragement on her and she got back, you know, people were shaking their hands and, you know, just trying to get on out and they were all trying to forget it. But she came up to the pastor and she was such an encourager. She said, Pastor, nice try. Amen. So if I don't hit it tonight, just say, Brother Ricky, that was a nice try. Amen. Acts chapter 27, if you're there, say amen. And verse 21, if you're there, say amen. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Oh, all the other times the Lord is saying it. The last time Paul is saying it. We need to say what God says. Amen. We need to say, isn't that what the bishop said Sunday, that the Lord said and the blessing came forth. Amen. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, you will be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" Now read that again. "Be of good cheer, for believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Father, thank you for the cheer of promise. Thank you for the promises of God that are yea and amen. Thank you for the promises over Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for the promises over Elam Johnson. Thank you for the promises over our marriages. Thank you for the promises over our finances. And Lord, we're going to be of good cheer because you are the master of the wind and you're the maker of the sea and you'll make the sun shine again. And we bless your name forever. Now, Lord, may I decrease, may you increase, and may this word go forth tonight, not only here in this sanctuary, but on Facebook Live and on live stream and around the world. Help us to be of good cheer, and we'll give you praise for it. Everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty, and God bless you tonight. Tell somebody you're looking pretty. Amen. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, five times the Bible says, "Be of good cheer." Say that with me.
Be of good cheer.
Now, that sounds like a command. You know, the Bible says, "Be filled with the Spirit." That's not a suggestion. The Bible says, "Be kind one to another, even as God has been kind to you." The Bible says, "Be saved today." And so, not only be saved, be kind, be filled, the Bible says, "Be of good cheer." We need to obey the Lord. We don't need to walk around forlorn, unhappy, gloom, despair, depressed. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, despite it all, I'm going to obey your command." It's a command, be of good cheer. But I found it's not only a command, it's also a choice. You have to choose to be of good cheer. It's a decision that you make. That I'm going to, in light of my situation, in light of my struggles, and in light of my sorrows, despite hell and high water, despite the air conditioning breaking down, I know it's tough, but what am I going to do? I'm going to be of good cheer because God is going to see me through this. It's not only a command, it's not only a choice, but I told you a few months ago that it's also a course, because someone said, and I love repeating this, you've heard me say it, you're going to hear me say it again, but your day, I heard David Jeremiah say it, so I'm just telling you, this is good. Amen. If it's come from David Jeremiah, it's usually good. Amen. But your day tends to go the same direction as the sides of your mouth. Every now and then at Best Buy, the assistant manager walks around with a frown on his face. I say, "Buddy, your day tends to go the same direction as the sides of your mouth." I'm just not going to say much more than that, but I believe if you turn those, you know, corners up a little bit and smile a little bit, things just, and it, praise God, he does it. Amen. And things turn better because it's a course. It's an attitude of gratitude. And it is a choice. It's a command. And it is a course. When you be of good cheer, you'll be a better witness on your job. When you be of good cheer and just quit being negative and pessimistic and woe is me and the world is going flat. Listen, when you've got to learn that this is a course. You've got to speak positive. Now, people got into the hyper-faith movement and the power of positive confession, and they started confessing Cadillacs and things like that. And the confessing Cadillac never worked for me, so I just confessed a Lincoln Town Car. That did work, all right? But I will tell you that with all seriousness, that please understand that there is a power to positive confession. There is a power, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. You know what? I don't like to down talk the church. You know what? Even if the sound system ain't quite right, even if the singers are off key, even if the pastor preaches a dud, even, praise God, we have a church. Praise God for the paint. Praise God for the air conditioning that is working when it's working. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him here, you creatures below. Praise Him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Be of good cheer, and it'll set the course of your life. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say amen. You see, every time you read the statement, be of good cheer, it was always in difficult circumstances. Really, it was. Every single time. The man was sick and his sins were accumulating. Be of good cheer. They were out in a boat, afraid. Be of good cheer. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. You know, Paul's getting about to get stoned, about to get arrested, and was arrested. Be of good cheer. He's on a boat that's going to sink. Be of good cheer. I'm just here to tell you, things are looking up. Amen. Now, let me give you the backdrop of where we are tonight in the book of Acts. Because from Acts chapter 21 on, we see the Apostle Paul going through some tough times. In fact, if you look in chapters 21, don't go there now, but jot it down, 21, 27 through 36, speaks of the detention of Paul. The detention, how he was apprehended, arrested for preaching the gospel and doing miracles, and the Jews did not like it. We read of his detention. And then in chapter 21, verses 37 through chapter 23, verse 10, that whole section, you find the defense of Paul, where he's defending what he did. I'm doing this because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I'm doing this because I was blinded by a noonday sun. And he is making a defense like a criminal in the court. He's before the Jews at this point. He's not before Rome yet. So you find the detention of Paul. You find the defense of Paul. And then when we get into the section we're in tonight, you find the danger to Paul because he is on his way to Rome. He has been before Felix and he's been before Festus and he had to have, my goodness, you talking about anointing. He made Felix tremble, and Festus said, almost that one of the two said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I always get them mixed up. But Paul was, man, I tell you, God was using him. And they said, we're just going to ship him on the Rome. And then he gets in danger. Because he is destined to be on a great shipwreck. So in the text that we read tonight, Paul was on a ship that was headed for Rome to present his case to Caesar. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now understand two things. First of all, this is not the first main point. This is a sub point. First of all, God had already told Paul, you will make it to Rome. You will testify before Caesar. God had already given him a word. And in fact, God had told him to be of good cheer. The cheer of purpose. I have mentioned that. That's the fourth cheer. You're going to Rome. Listen, all hell can break loose. The devil, let the heathen rage and the people imagine of anything. And the kings of the earth took counsel saying, what are we going to do with the Lord and with his anointed? But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh and the Lord shall have, that's Psalms 2, shall have them in derision. Amen. God has a purpose and he's going, if he says you're going to be in Rome, you're going to be in Rome. Amen. But notice that the ship taking Paul to Rome was destined to wreck. Now, how many of you know that if God told you you were going to London, England to preach or to sing, Brother Ray, if God said, I'm sending you to London, England on the next boat out, and you're going to sing before the Queen of England, now that'd be a great thing, wouldn't it, Brother Ray? Amen. But what if God didn't bother to tell you that between Morehead City Port and Southampton Port, the ship was going to wreck? Now, that'd be kind of anticlimactic, wouldn't it? You're going to sing before the queen, but I'm not going to tell you that on the way over, the ship is going to wreck. Now, folks, don't you understand that sometimes everything don't go just right? Are y'all with me tonight? It reminds me of the biography of Bishop J.H. King. He was in a prayer meeting on January 31st in the Octagon Tabernacle in Falcon, a New Year's prayer meeting, and he got his biography said he just got fairly disgusted with what he saw going on. He didn't elaborate what the problem was, but knowing Bishop King, he probably thought some people were getting in the flesh, and he was about to leave. But before he left, the Lord just said, stay. And he stayed during that service, and God spoke to him through a prophetic word that he would travel the nations of the earth. And not long after that, he was in Columbia, South Carolina with R.B. Hayes. And the next thing you know, he was on a boat in Los Angeles headed to Japan. And when I was reading that biography, I was like, man, that is awesome. And then he starts talking about how that on the first two or three nights, everything was great. But then the boat began to rock and roll and the waves were way up and they came into a terrible storm. The ship almost crashed and they feared for their lives. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, you did it to Paul. You're doing it to Bishop King. I think I'll just drive around on the Lincoln Town Car. Amen. Come on now, help me out now. You see, God told the Apostle Paul that the ship would be in danger. In fact, Paul knew it. He knew ahead of time that the ship was going to be in danger, even though he knew he was going to get to Rome. So Paul told the people, he said, listen, we better not take off in this ship. We better not do it. I know somehow we're going to get to Rome, but this particular ship is going to have problems. And guess what? They didn't listen to him. In fact, Acts chapter 27 and verse 21 in the Living Bible says Paul called, this is the Living Bible paraphrase, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place. I love that translation. I love that. When they begin to sink, when they begin to have ship problems, Paul said, you should have listened to me. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't mean this wrong, but we are preachers of the gospel. We have a pastor. I'm a minister and pastor, and we have other great wise Christians in here. When we give you advice and when we give you scriptures, let me just say very humbly, listen to what we're saying, because we know there's a shipwreck coming to our nation. We know there's a shipwreck coming to your finances if you're not tithing. We know there's a shipwreck coming to every marriage that's not founded on the rock. And listen, I would never say I told you so, but every now and then, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You're like the Paul. You're saying, hey, the way you're headed, it's not going to last. It's going to crash. And when it does, you should have listened to the preacher. You should have listened to the Spirit of God. God's got a plan, and He wants you to make it through and get to Rome. But you don't have to get on every ship. You just have to wait on the Lord, and He'll take you the right way and at the right time. Be of good cheer. Somebody say amen tonight. Okay, so Paul, he's a prisoner. He has to get on that ship. Even though they're determined to take it and they don't believe, they still don't believe the preachers today. They still don't believe us when we say abortion is the number one most egregious sin in this world. I am disturbed by white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia. I am sickened and I am disturbed. That is not of God. That is pure hate. There is not white supremacy or black supremacy. There's only God supremacy. Amen. And He made us all red, yellow, black, and white, precious in His sight. If you're a white supremacist, you'll never see the gates of heaven, because you wouldn't be happy there anyway, because there's going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. So just get used to no air conditioning, because you're not going to make it to heaven, and where you're going, it's going to be very hot. It's called hell. I'm against white supremacy, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm against abortion too. And if you call out white supremacy, I want to know, have you called out abortion? Amen? Because abortion is a... How did I get on that tonight? The point I'm trying to tell you is God has a plan for every life. God has a plan, and you can be of good cheer. And I know the boat is going to sink. You should listen. I know that boat's going to sink. But listen, here's the good thing about it. Paul's like, guys, we're going to have problems. But listen, be of good cheer. Because I know God told me we're going to get it to Rome. Now, we might go through some flood, and we might have our ship wrecked under our feet, and we might be on boards. I love that scripture. Some on boards, some on broken pieces. But if you'll just hang on to the ship, you're going to make it to the other side. Oh, somebody say hallelujah tonight. Some on boards, some on, but don't jump the ship of the church. Don't jump the ship of your marriage. Don't jump the ship of your commitment. It may flounder. It may fail. You may go through some shipwrecks, but hang on to the, listen, you know what the boards, and he said, hang on to the boards. You know what? Jesus was crucified on a piece of board, a wood. Hang on to the cross. It looked like that was a shipwreck, but it wasn't. On the third day, he rose again, and we ought to be of good cheer. When God says you're going to make it, hang on to the word of God. Hang on to the old rugged cross and believe he's going to take you. Somebody say amen. The cheer of his promise. Be of good cheer. It will be just like he told me. On December 19th, 1927, just off the coast of Massachusetts, a United States submarine was broadsided by a frigate. The frigate had no concept of what it had hit. It was operated under sealed orders. They had no idea how badly they had been hit. They had been hit right in the engine room, the electrical room, and everything on the submarine shut down. Within a matter of minutes, it rested on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. They sent out the USS Falcon, sent down some deep water divers to see if there was any possibility of rescuing those sailors that were on board that ship. Now, they were alive, and they knew they were alive, but they were shut off. Their engines were shut down. No electrical light was there. The electricity was out. They were sitting there, everything getting colder by the minute. They were at the bottom of the ocean, and no oxygen coming in. Just what they had in reserves. And they knew they could only breathe for a few hours. Deep sea divers got down close to the hull of that submarine, and they could hear something. They didn't know what it was. And they heard something. They heard tapping. And they figured out that someone on the inside was tapping in Morse code. Morse code. Where there's dots and dashes. It's a whole code that they used in World War II. And they determined that the code was this question. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? I'm here to tell you tonight. You may be thinking, is there any hope? I want you to know, be of good cheer. There is hope in the Lord. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. There's hope in the promises of God. You see, the greatest issue is not unfulfilled promises. In fact, that's not even the issue. It's not unfulfilled promises. Your problem is never unfulfilled promises. Your problem is unclaimed promises. And we've got to claim those promises. Charles Spurgeon, who I had kind of a rough day at work Monday, and things didn't quite go just right. And I tell you, it just was a tough day. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever had a tough day at work? Sure. We all have. It's not all peaches. It is milk and honey, but on that particular day, I had more bees than I had the honey. Amen. You'll catch that later. Amen. Praise God. You can't get honey without the bees, and you can't get milk without, you know, milking a cow. And sometimes that's not fun. But the point I'm just trying to tell you is, I just came home from work. I popped up my chair and my feet were hurting. That's all right. 'Cause that's fine. Praise God. You know, and by the way, those 20-year-olds, they complain about getting tired. They complain about their feet hurting. And I'm like, ha, are you kidding me? You're 16. You're 20. Adam Fulgham, the evangelist, the young evangelist, just turned 16. We went to Falcon last Tuesday. We got up early, drove, stayed the whole day. I showed him around Falcon, went to the service that night. Then we got up the next morning, and he was at my house at 8 a.m., and he was as dead quiet. And I was so tired, Pastor Jerry. I was so tired. And I felt bad because I was like, you know, I'm not a morning chatter anyway. I don't chat a lot in the morning. I mean, don't call a board meeting in the morning. There's just not a lot you're going to get out of me in the morning. I'm just going to say yay or nay, you know. But all of a sudden, about the time we got to Falcon, Adam looked at me and said, Brother Ricky, I am just wore out. I said, Adam, son, you ain't but 16 years old. You don't know what wore out is. But it did make me feel a lot better. Thank God. I said, well, praise God. If he feels wore out, then I'm not so bad at 46. Amen. I got 30 years on that boy. I tell you, I felt so. I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that. But I got home and I had had a rough day and things got under my skin. And I had a lot of difficult customers and not so much that they were mad or mean. It's like I had one complex question after another and I was already kind of half tired anyway. And it was like, how can I do this? And I'm like, I told one lady, I said, I don't know. I don't have a clue. And I shouldn't have said that. So y'all forgive me. Y'all mind if I ask God to forgive me right now? Lord, I shouldn't have done it. But point I'm trying to tell you is I got home Monday night. I pulled out a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on the immutability of God. And I'll tell you what, before my head hit that pillow, my spirit got in shape, because I'm going to tell you, no matter what the doctor says, no matter how tough your day has been, no matter what people do to you, I'm here to tell you, never lose focus that God is God Almighty, even on tough times, even when somebody doesn't do you right. He is unchanging, and we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Here you go. Be of good cheer. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Claim the promises. Do you know what I mean by that? I say claim the promises. That means you've got a... So I've got some stubborn promises. I don't mean that in the wrong way. But I've got promises that I've been claiming for a long time. I remember when I... And the bishop talked about this Sunday morning. And he said that he laid hands on his children. He blessed his children, prayed over them. And just a few weeks ago, you've got to understand something. My sister went through a tough time with a lot of the temptations of youth. And my daddy died in 2005. And I remember when my daddy was healthy, where we lived was immaculate, beautiful, up, kept up, classy. And I remember as he got sick, the bushes began to overgrow and things didn't look like as good as they did. And then when daddy died, it got even worse. And then my mother remarried in 2009, a man from Firestone. And just a few weeks ago, we had a retirement party for my stepdad. And I walked out there and I'm telling you, every bush was trimmed. The grass looked like a golf course. She owns a house, a double wide and a trailer. All three of them were completely updated and renovated. And my sister, I looked at her over there. She's making more money than I am at Best Buy. She's making 20 some dollars an hour being a nurse. Her and her husband are doing well. And I looked at that and I thought about, you know why this is like it is? Because I prayed. The Lord just said, Ricky, do you see what your prayers have done for this family? Do you see? Now you may think that's being a little prideful. It is not. I promise you, if it weren't for God answering those prayers, but I would pray over my mother. I prayed over my family. I laid hands on my sister when she was 1 and 2 years old. I said, God, she'll not be taken over by drugs. She will have a good husband. She will have a good job. And I'm here to tell you, there's power in the blessing. There's power. Be of good cheer. God can turn around. I remember they were going to auction my mother's, the whole thing off, because she couldn't pay it. And me and my mom went to the courthouse. They were going to auction it in front of the steps of the courthouse in Nashville, Nash County Courthouse. And I wanted to find out who was going to get our home. You know, I was going to find out. So I remember it was supposed to be at 3 o'clock. At 2:55, I didn't see anybody. So I walked up to the steps of the courthouse of Nashville and Nobody's there. And about 3:05, some guy parks a car, walks up, and he pulls out a piece of paper. He stands over there, and he's Nims and family and postpone and read blah blah blah. And he started to walk off. I said, hold it just a second here. What just happened? He said, oh, they decided not to auction it off. They're going to work with her and let her keep it. I got back to that car. I said, Mama, you ain't going nowhere, glory to God. And I'm here to tell you, she's still there because God keeps His promises. Be of good cheer just when you think it's over. I looked out there just a few weeks ago. I looked out there at how beautiful that grass was. Those homes completely renovated. My stepdad's built a new garage back there. I told Mother, I said, this place has not looked this good since Daddy got sick in the 90s. I tell you, we've come through hell and high water. But when God says you're going through, you're going through. Claim the promises of God. Well, what are some of the promises we need to claim? Good gracious, time has flown. We need to claim the promise that our loved ones are going to be saved. I'm claiming my sister. She comes to church here. I'm not sure she's right where she needs to be with the Lord. And my mother has been coming here. She has a form of fibromyalgia. There's some mornings she gets up, she cannot get out of bed. And those happen to be on Sundays. But she's here when she's able to be here. And I'll tell you, I remember when I pastored, when this was the Living Waters Church, I was here for 8 years. I can count probably on this hand the times my mother walked in that door. But praise God, I'm back. And guess what? She's here just about every Sunday. Well, glory to God. Amen, somebody. Claim that husband. Claim that spouse. Claim that child. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and thy house. Jeremiah 31, for those of you that got children, don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your grandchildren. I am the result of my grandmother taking me to church. Not my mother, not my dad. Excuse me, my great-grandmother. My grandmother wasn't near a Christian either. She was a good woman, but she loved to party and drink Michelob. But I'm here to tell you, my great-grandmother, she was a Holy Ghost-filled woman. She said, if I go to church, my grandson's going to church. Praise God, I'm preaching today because somebody said I'm going to be. And through her grandson, I've been able to lead other family members to the Lord. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel was weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted. This is Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, and they, your children, shall come again from the land of the enemy. Somebody say amen. Number one, claim the promises that your children are going to be saved. Claim the promises that your grandchildren are going to be saved. Listen, standing on the promises, not only that our family will be saved, but we have the promise that there's hope beyond the grave. I'm reading a biography now. Every now and then I read off-the-wall biographies from off-the-wall people just to see what they say about life. I'm also reading about Martin Luther right now. The Reformation's coming up, the 500th anniversary. There's five times in the Bible it says the just shall live by faith. And as I get preaching opportunities, I'm sure the pastors will, I want to cover all five times that the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. The Protestant Reformation. But I am reading a biography from the lady who played I Dream of Jeannie, the genie. Barbara Eden. That's exactly who I'm reading. I'm reading her biography. And I read the other day that she had gotten pregnant. She was married to another actor. And they realized the baby was dead. And she writes about how that it tore her all to pieces. And in those days, you had to carry a dead baby to full term. They didn't just take the babies like they do now. And can you imagine? She said, you know, here I am 9 months pregnant. And people were saying, oh, what? Have you got the nursery ready? And she said, no, and the whole while that baby was dead. And she wrote this. She said, here's what she said, and I thought it was very, very, very telling. She said, so on a date I can't remember and don't want to, my dead baby was delivered and I went home without him. And I thought to myself, there was no hope in that situation. If I could talk to Barbara Eden, or if a pastor could have talked to Barbara Eden, they would have said, Barbara, true, your baby may be dead in your womb, but your baby is alive in heaven. And Barbara, don't leave that baby there like it's nothing. That is a life. Even if it never had life like we have life, it was alive. And there's a scripture, Barbara, that says David had lost his baby. And he had fasted and prayed and said, God, save my baby. But the baby died anyway. And then David began to eat and began to drink. And they said, David, you were so sad when the baby was dead and now you're okay. And he said, wait a minute. When the baby was alive, I did everything I could. I prayed and I asked God. And God, for whatever purpose, took that baby. But here's the thing, guys. The baby's never coming back to me. But I'm one day going to that baby. And I just want to tell Barbara Eden, I don't know, she might even be listening on Facebook Live. Barbara Eden, I want to tell you, you can meet that baby again. There is hope beyond the grave. We don't have to despair. There ain't no grave going to hold my body down. If you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ, I promise you, what you did not hold in this world, you can hold forever in the next world. There is hope beyond the grave. Death is not the end. Claim the promises that there is hope beyond the grave. Claim the promises that He wants to build His church. Matthew 16 and 18. I promise I'm trying to come to a close. Claim that one if you will. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 says, and I will say unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build, say that with me. I will build my church. That is a promise. There's two sides to that. Like there's heads and the tails to a nickel. There's a heads and a tail. The heads is this. God's working and He's going to build the church no matter what the devil does. And we just need to get in touch with God. The flip side of it is this. I need to build my church. I need to be faithful when the doors are open. If I can't be here, that's understandable. We do have our vacations. We do have our times we need to be away. There's our sicknesses. There's our family obligations. But other than that, count on me, because I'm going to build my church. And I'm going to claim the promises with the pastor and the staff that we have not yet seen. We're going to say, come forth. Hallelujah. All the promises over this place are going to come to pass in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy God. I said, be of good cheer tonight. Somebody say amen. Martin Luther, getting back to Martin Luther. You're going to hear a lot about Martin Luther, by the way. He was pastoring a church and he couldn't keep people in church and it'd grow and go down. He had same problems as we pastors have today. And he got so discouraged. And he spent 3 days in a black depression over something that had gone wrong in the church. On the third day, his wife came downstairs dressed in mourning clothes. She had dressed in black. He had been there depressed, couldn't talk, couldn't. Worried about the church, and she comes down there in funeral clothes, and he said, honey, who's dead? He asked her, and her reply was, God is dead. What do you mean? He looked at his wife. God cannot die. Well, she replied, well, the way you've been acting, I sure thought he had died. He got the point. God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still alive. I can feel Him in my feet. I can feel Him in my hands. I love the rest of that song. I can feel Him all over me. Be of good cheer, friend. When God makes promises, amen, they're going to come to pass. Paul, you're going to Rome. Be of good cheer. Number one, because He's promised to save my loved ones. Number two, because there's hope beyond the grave. Number three, because he's building his church. He's promised to come again. I'm not going to preach that. I'm out of time. And number five, he's promised to bless me personally. I want you to lay your hands right here. Amen. Come on. Say, I am blessed. And highly favored of God. Now be of good cheer. Turn around and tell your neighbor. Say, you are blessed. And highly favored of God. Now be of good cheer. Amen. Lucy and Charlie Brown. I'm done. Don't you know I love Lucy and Charlie Brown? I do. I told you I read crazy stuff sometimes just to get the idea. So I read the comic strip. But Lucy and Charlie Brown were talking, and Lucy, you know, she's the little philosopher. Lucy was saying, Charlie Brown, life is like a voyage, like an ocean voyage, like a cruise ship. She said, some people put their deck chair facing forward so they can see where they're going. She said, and other people put their deck chair facing backward so they can see where they've been. And some people arrange the deck chair sideways so they can see where they are. What about you, Charlie Brown? How have you got which way have you got your deck chair? And Charlie Brown, you know how he is, always fumbling and bumbling and always something going wrong. He said, well, Lucy, I never can get mine unfolded. Stand with me tonight. I want you to unfold your deck chair. Amen. I want you to put that deck chair and I want you to lay it flat. I don't want you looking forward. You might get scared. And I don't want you putting it back. You might get depressed. And I don't want you putting it to the side because you might get concerned about where you are and think, is this it? I just want you to stretch that deck chair back because, you know, they have those chairs that go all the way back. And I don't want you to look back. I don't want you to look sideways. I don't want you to look front ways. I want you to look upways. I want the sides of your mouth to go this way. I want you to be of good cheer because of the promises of God. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. As the pastor's coming, and if you just grab your microphone, pastor, and I'm going to move over to the piano. But let me just read these scriptures in closing. There are 30,000 promises. You need to claim those promises. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And a church said, amen. 1 Kings 8 and 56, praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises that he has given through his servant Moses. Yes. Joshua 23 and 14, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth, and you know with all your heart and soul that not one good promise of the Lord has failed. Every promise has, well, I'm about to run the aisle. Every promise has been fulfilled. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. Last one, Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Hebrews 10, 23. For he who promised is faithful. I said, I'm standing on the promises of yes, God. Glory. Give him a hand of praise tonight.
Be of good cheer. I believe God. Amen. I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Church, you ought to praise Him.
Oh, yes.
Praise Him. Don't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Church, you ought to praise Him. Praise Him. Don't let a day go by without praising the Lord. We'll keep on praising His name on lifting him up. Call upon the Master.
Oh, yeah.
He's a God who's more than enough. I said, hold on to Jesus. He'll bring the victory. And don't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Well, I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Won't let a day go by without praising the Lord.
Oh,
won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Well, the devil, he comes like a lion, roaring on every side. But I've got King Jesus,
yeah,
and my soul is satisfied. Well, I won't stop the road I'm traveling. Church, I'm heaven bound. And I won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Sing it, church, glory. Well, I won't let a day go by